There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
Hello, my friend. The day is open beautifully here at the mountain. The sky is amazingly clear with only a few clouds to sort of define it to suggest the depth of the sky over us. And the earth around us is drying out already. The voices that we lost as they traveled south in the winter are back and around, many of them. So our bird population is filling out the trees, and the voices are amazing. There's a sense of community and unity here that speaks to me of the heart of what we're about. It's wonderful to be touched by the truth of this before me, as that is a great longing within many of us at this time. How do we make it through difficult times? How do we help each other through them? How right now, especially, are we making it through this time with a great concern for this virus that is inflicting itself, it seems, on so many people and places and nations, and creating havoc as well as bringing death? How do we rise up? How do we find life in the middle of what seems to be kissed by death at this time? The struggle is a real one, and also very real to it is the radical hope that would be ours if we can listen to spring. It sounds trite, possibly, and I apologize for that, but it's at the heart of things for me. The animals outside my room are looking for food and a place to begin their new lives and create their nests. So there's a sense of coming together and extending life that's very real for them. And the rest of the world, too, in its own way, is longing for that, where spring is especially arriving for us in the Northern Hemisphere. Every moment, every event of every person's life on earth plants something in their soul. For just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each moment brings with it germs of spiritual vitality that come to rest imperceptibly in the minds and the wills of persons. Most of these innumerable seeds perish and are lost, except the ones on good soil of freedom, spontaneity, and love. A bit of a paragraph from Merton's book, The New Seeds of Contemplation, his chapter on the seeds of contemplation. It has been my reflection this morning when I'm thinking of, as Greg asked me to with him, what would Francis and Claire and Merton be doing right now? What would they be in the midst of all this? Each one of them in their own way shows us a person of the church, some radical organization around the person and the body of Jesus Christ, who understands that to be Christian is to be part of the world, that things have fallen into us over time. Some literally have fallen into us. And the image of a germ is not here a pleasant one to hear, where germs are causing trouble. But germ really means, as we know, underneath it, germinate. So it speaks to the activity of what's happening. And we could say, what am I trying to encourage to germinate at this time? What's the germ, if I can use the word, transplanting it here, that we would hope for? And I'd say, oh, there it is. Francis was in some ways a cockeyed optimist, or better said, a person of deep and true and sustained hope. He found that in Jesus Christ. He felt radicalized out of his own life experience to trust the Lord of mercy and love, and to begin to walk roads with friends and others to proclaim this love to the world. And so there are two parts maybe of our own journey right now with this virus, with other things that might be more immediate to us. There may be something in our home. We could say, well, that's going on, but I'm more touched by or affected by. Take a little time and let that surface and know what that is. And then let it be held in the hope of God's love for us. Hope will not be disappointed, St. Paul tells us. Hope is a root understanding of the word courageous, or being full of courage. It means risking living. It means stepping out there. It means not doing foolish things to continue one's life, but to do things that are ask more of us than we think we're able. And that's probably the time we're in for many of us. It isn't that we should go beyond the bounds of the wisdom of those who are in charge of our municipalities or churches or our own home. We get guidelines and they're so helpful. But within that is this radicalization of our hearts that pass through and over and are not held back by any of those borders, those things that separate countries and people, person to person. We hold them in prayer. Francis and Claire are somehow held their world in prayer. Notably, that prayer moved very much to taking care of the most vulnerable around them. It showed a great attentiveness to the other people in Assisi, but other villages and places along the way. When Francis was on the road or Claire was in her monastery, there was an outflowing of love from the hope that God was more than just for us, but that God is for all of us. This is a germination that wants to happen in the springtime, a waking up, a coming to life of the seed of Christ's blood that's been poured out in us and wants to rise up as a new day for us, even now, even at this time during Lent. There's a beautiful longing in us that we don't always think of as beautiful, but it's an ache we have, and it's often a bit of an anxiety. Maybe more than just a bit, not just for ourselves, but for someone else in the family, our household, someone at work, someone down the street. I think it's valuable to not sit in that, but sit with that. Receive that longing for them at the same time that you and I feel and find hope within us and are recognizing if there's something we can do, we will. If there's not, we'll support other actions that might help and benefit the people around us. You and I are part of a very large and incredibly web of life. And so to be in any way drawn aside to ourselves, to self-quarantine, which it may be very wise for you or others around you at this time, doesn't separate us. Interestingly enough, it can heighten our sensitivity about each other. It can help me go to bed wondering what is going on in the rest of the world tonight. How are they doing? How are the children and the elderly? And we know it's especially the elderly that are challenged, as they say, with pre-existing conditions. So what else is pre-existing? Well, what's pre-existing for you and me is, I think that this is a time when we can rediscover it. It's terrible to say this in one sense because it's a very difficult time, but to say that, gee, in the midst of tragedy, we can discover again the incredible gratuity of God. So maybe we wouldn't identify this as tragedy within our own lives. And maybe it's not that at all, but it's certainly a number of things that touch on very large words for sustained and difficult times. And yes, a time and an experience that leads to death for some. Maybe many. Rising up in that is, though, this radicalized hope for the very thing that we long for. And that is the courage to live another day, finding each other as partners for this time, and indeed finding maybe people in our neighborhood or around the corner that we haven't talked to in a while, also bridges to a new possibility in our neighborhood or in our workplace. To take advantage of disadvantage is one of the blessings of a time like this. Not unwisely reaching out physically, as we would say, but in truth from our hearts. Knowing, as I a moment ago mentioned, that our hearts can reach across and around the world and back again. And hold, because they hold God, hold within themselves and within our Creator, within our hearts, the Creator of all creation. So that's a rambling reflection on the immediacy of the time we're in, which is both very difficult and challenging, and yet it's almost blasphemous to say it, but it opens us up to a new beginning. Francis would say, let us begin now. Till now, we've done very little. Let us begin now. We've done very little regarding some of our health care issues. Let us begin now because, and we can add those phrases in, and rather than beating our chests or being upset, we can begin to do what is needed both for ourselves and others now, and also for future generations. It's time to be lifted up by the spirit of hope, not pushed down by the darkness of fear and anxiety. It's time for us to find a path with one another and with others. Not a time, even if we self-quarantine, to be lost and on our own and by ourselves and trying to get away from this. Period. Here we are. Life presents itself. And in every day and in every place, just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each moment brings with it germs of spiritual vitality. Spiritual vitality. May this be a time of new life for you. And may we pray for others whose lives are at risk, lives are under assault, lives who have yet been heard. All of these lives that, like us, need hope.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.